Realtor.com is making a stand for buyer representation, and you can too. Join Realtor.com in sharing the list of 111 things buyer's agents do. Visit Realtor.com/buyer agent toolkit to help spread the word. Buyer agents are essential.
So actually, I had a kind of a health scare when I left Keller, and then I actually had cardiac arrest, went into a coma for about a month. And so when I came out of that, part of the recovery was I had to like kind of learn how to, you know, read and write again and walk again and do all that kind of stuff. And there was a real question around that I was having, you know, internally with my family, you know, what is this going to look like? And so that kind of got me back into kind of testing my abilities and working with people. About that same time, Sirhan reached out and said that they were thinking about, you know, they have these ambitious plans and they're looking for a leader to kind of spearhead that. And would I be interested? And so we started having conversations for months around, you know, does that make sense? Does that not make sense? And kind of looking at the industry, kind of talking to more of the traditional players as well. And I just, through that process, I believe kind of firmly that we're kind of going through a changing of the guard over the next 5 years in real estate. I think that the headwinds in the industry right now and what you kind of see playing out is that there's new models being created. There's new, you know, value being created. And Ryan's vision around that and kind of what they've been doing, what they're able to do already was exciting. And to be able to kind of join a team and kind of contribute to that mission and seeing if, you know, what we can do nationally, that was an exciting challenge.
Are you willing to take risks with your brokerage? Are you willing to change things up given the current atmosphere and the current market? I just talked to Josh Thieme. He is the new president of Sirhant. He had some really interesting things to say about leadership and how his perspective has changed since he had a health scare after leaving Keller Williams that left him near death. And he goes into that and also goes into kind of how he came out of it. And then 3 years later, decided to get back into business and what he learned through that experience, because it was quite profound. In addition, he talks about how Sirhant is ready to grow nationally in a big way, and they're willing to take big risks to do it and really think big. And so I really enjoyed hearing about some of the plans they had, and I think you will too. I think there's a lot of little tips and strategies in there about taking a business to the next level and really focusing on the opportunities that exist rather than worrying about all of the outcome of the lawsuits or what's going to happen in the market. So enjoy the podcast. I did. So Josh, welcome to the Real Trending Podcast.
Thanks for the invitation. It's exciting to be here.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a couple years since you were in leadership for another company, and now you're leading Sirhant as their president. So tell me a little bit about what attracted you to the firm.
Well, it wasn't like a big plan. So I actually, I had a kind of a health scare when I left Keller. I had was kind of just doing the dad thing, kind of enjoying life. And then I actually had cardiac arrest and went into a coma for about a month. It got pretty spot and go. And so when I came out of that, part of the recovery was I had to like kind of learn how to, you know, read and write again and walk again and do all that kind of stuff. And there was a real question around that I was having, you know, internally with my family and all that around, like, you know, what is this going to look like? And so that kind of got me back into kind of testing my abilities and working with people. Through that, about that same time, Sirhant reached out and said that they were thinking about, you know, they have these ambitious plans and they're looking for a leader to kind of spearhead that. And would I be interested? And so we started having conversations for months around, you know, does that make sense? Does that not make sense? And so I was kind of deciding kind of what my next phase was going to be. And so in that process, I was kind of looking at the industry, kind of talking to more of the traditional players as well. And I just, through that process, I believe kind of firmly that we're kind of going through a changing of the guard over the next 5 years in real estate. I think that the headwinds in the industry right now and what you kind of see playing out is that there's new models being created. There's new value being created, and Ryan's vision around that and kind of what they've been doing, what they're able to do already was exciting, and to be able to kind of join a team and kind of contribute to that mission and seeing if what we can do nationally, that was an exciting challenge. So after several months of kind of playing out that what that might look like and working with Ryan and the team there, we kind of put together a plan and a plan of attack, and we all got kind of excited about that. And so now we're off and executing.
Yeah, because this is new for Ryan. I mean, he's been leading the company. So this is really taking it in a new direction, hiring a president. I want to talk to you a little bit about your health scare. I'm sure that happening crystallized a lot of things for you. Are there any lessons that you kind of learned or anything that really kind of changed your direction in life from it?
Oh, I mean, 100%. I got the little scars where they had to, incubate me and I got a computer in my chest now and all that kind of good stuff. And the, when I woke up, from coma and kind of figured out where I was and all that kind of stuff, I wasn't even allowed to get out of the bed. I had to eat in the bed and just lived in that bed for a while I got strong. And so you're there with your thoughts and your memories. So my first lesson that I learned is I kind of got to experience what I think end of life is for a lot of people. And you're in a hospital bed and you're just there with your friends and your memories. And so you made good ones. It did not matter what I had accomplished before. It didn't matter what was in my garage. It didn't matter what was in my bank account. I mean, none of that mattered in that moment. And what mattered was I going to get to go to the walk myself to the bathroom or not? Like that was like, these were the big moments. And then the people that are willing to come and be with you. And so, I mean, like it's cliche, but probably for a reason, what really matters shows up in those moments, and it's the people and it's the memories you have. So make good ones, be kind, realize that at the end, it's who you accomplish well, the team you accomplish things with is way more important than the individual things, and make sure that what you're doing is worthwhile and you enjoy the people you're doing it with, because at the end of the day, all you're going to have is the memories of it. So make good ones. That's definitely hit me strong. And then a big part of why I went full dad mode was obviously because of that. I mean, I was organizing books at the school, walking kids to school every day, basketball coach, baseball coach. So just making sure to remind myself what actually matters and what's going to matter at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you're young too for such a huge health scare. And I actually have a girlfriend who went through the same thing in her 30s, and ended up being kind of a fluke hereditary thing. But yeah, she speaks about it now locally and that. But she was very young too, so you don't hear about that happening very often.
It was unexpected for sure, but like all things, I mean, it really the harder the fall, the more challenging the environment, the better the comeback story, the better the opportunity is to kind of rise above it. Actually, not to be like cheesy, but I actually kind of think that applies to real estate as an industry right now, which is, we're pretty close to the bottom, 30-year lows, and everyone's got it, and then the people that can kind of pull those chips together and do something new and meaningful it's going to be meaningful and last a long time. So it just regrounded me and reminded me what's important and allowed me to also make sure that my next chapter was meaningful, purposeful, and that was going to do something that could, stand the test of time. That's our mission. That's our goal. Can we do something that will live longer than any one of us are touching it?
Yeah. I mean, you came from a high pressure position with Keller, and now you're kind of going back into another maybe high pressure position as president of a growing company. So how does your you know, your schedule, your just kind of your the way you lead change between those two positions?
Well, I'm unorthodox in that way because so I'll give you this, like, 2 seconds kind of around my journey, which might make sense in my answer here. So I started as a on the engineering side. So I was a software engineer by trade, got recruited very early on when I was a teenager, couldn't go to Radar Movies to be a developer. And so I went into the workforce and they were like, hey, you're really good at developing. We'd like you to lead this team of developers. Well, these are like 30, 40 year olds. And I'm now their boss and I can't go to Radar Movie. So I had no idea what I was doing. And so when I came into that, I came in like, I'm sure most teenagers thought you're supposed to be a boss. That did not work out at all. That was horrible. And it was a total disaster. But I needed it to work because I didn't have anything else. And I needed, like, I was young. I had no money. I was just trying to figure this out. And I couldn't fail. That meant, like, you know, going back to having nothing. And so I got the team together and I said, guys, clearly this isn't working. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm pretty good at this thing over here. I can't fail. What do we need to do? And I was just vulnerable with them. We got us in a room. And that moment kind of changed everything for me because in that moment, they rallied around me and started to help me. And so the way I lead from that moment when I was at Keller and now at Sirhan is I believe that the smaller the room you're in, the more you're likely to be wrong. And we should just get like-minded people together with a real big goal and a real hairy problem and see what solutions we can come up with. And we can move towards that and then hold ourselves accountable to, you know, just continuing to make progress on that. So ultimately, from a scheduling perspective, days are full. We have lots of opportunities to create improvements and all that. So, but it's typically going from room to room with like-minded people trying to solve really challenging problems because what we believe fundamentally right now is that the relationship between the brokerage and the agent has to evolve. I think that we've, as an industry, talked about how the agents have to evolve. You have to do this and change this and do this different. But the brokerage model hasn't really changed all that much at the end of the day. And I think that that's the next part of this value chain that's going to be changed. So we're asking really tough questions up and down the value stream on what do we think that's going to change? What does that mean for us? And how can we add more and more value in that relationship? That's hard, especially in this climate. And so doing it with like-minded people is pretty much my full-time job.
Yeah, collaboration, the best way to do it.
2024 is the year to act, to make bold moves, tell better stories, and build brands that endure. At the 1000-Watt Brand and Marketing Summit, we're putting real estate experts like you in a room with some of the greatest marketing minds around so you can turn your big ideas into action. Join us in Dallas, June 25th through the 27th, for a real estate event designed for doers. Get your tickets at 1000watt.net/summit. That's 1000watt.net/summit. Let's talk about some of the things that you've got planned for Sirhan, especially around growth, whether it is through agent growth or any type of M&A that you are thinking about doing, recruiting, boosting productivity. Talk to me a little bit about your plan for growing the firm, if I assume that's the goal of it, which is why you were hired. So talk to me a little bit about that and what direction you're excited to bring Sirhan in.
Yeah, I mean, so the part that I fell kind of in love with when talking to the company was they're approaching the value offering, that relationship, kind of different than I had experienced before. So this whole content to commerce component, which is clearly working, clearly Ryan has made a very large empire from that. And I think that's kind of where we're seeing more of the consumer trends going to. And so what is that? So the first pillar of this is how do you create the media component? What's the infrastructure required so that you can help agents launch a brand, amplify a brand, and then maximize content to commerce? That requires a whole specialized set of skill sets and offerings and value. And then how do you scale that nationally? So that's the first pillar that we're working on right now. And then the second pillar is all around kind of that workflow. And that's where we kind of talked about Simple that we announced, and we're trying to do something, you know, this year that we're pretty excited about. But it's essentially how can we help agents create bigger brands, amplify those brands in ways that traditionally, you know, hasn't been done, and then help them achieve more by letting them outsource more of the day-to-day ops work, the admin work to the brokerage. So they don't have to do all that and create massive infrastructure and teams and systems and manage and hire and all those pain points. How can the brokerage step in to fill that void? Those are the two kind of components that we think are going to establish that relationship to the future. And what's actually happening right now is we're having a lot of inbound demand. And so a lot of my job right now is actually figuring out how do we strategically, launch the platform nationally to accommodate the inbound demand that we have and also maintain the standards that we want to continue trying to push the envelope there.
Yeah, and really hiring you was a huge step forward, because I think where a lot of brokers who are also selling, and I don't even know if Ryan's still selling, but you know, they get to that point in their growth where it's very difficult to do both, and then making that jump from kind of leading, it's not small by any means, but you know, a smaller brokerage, and then you get to a point of growth where something has to be done to make that next level. And so, you know, I love that you were brought in to do that. And of course, Ryan has built a great business on his own as well. I don't want to take away from that. But it is difficult to scale that. So where are you seeing some of the big opportunities with Serhant right now?
The biggest opportunities in front of us right now is how we launch new markets in a predictable, strategic way to accommodate some of the demand that we have. So we get top agents across the country, you know, reaching out to us and making sure we have the infrastructure so that we launch in a way that can grow and scale with the businesses and the needs that they have. So you've seen historically other strategies on how you scale fast and launch, and they all have pros and cons. And so how do we learn from that? How do we learn which model works and what does that work like? And then as we think about where the industry is going, how do we align our growth strategy and our model to best align with what the agents need and where the industry is heading to? And so I think that is where our biggest opportunity is. And that's where a lot of the work and focus is right now, is making sure that we don't, I'll say it this way. As formerly being the president of a 160 plus thousand agents. When you create value for that many people, it's just so hard to make it really valuable to any one person. You've got to kind of water down the value to make it valuable for everyone. So then it's not like super valuable for anyone. And that's a real challenge, especially going into a change era. And I think a lot of the large organizations are taxed or burdened with that. Where we have the opportunity is we get in business with very, very high performing agents and a much smaller population. So we have the ability to create value on a very bespoke level and start scaling that nationally, which allows us to kind of move and adapt a little bit quicker than some of these other expansion models did. And we just believe fundamentally that investing in letting agents build and amplify their brands and offshore a lot of that work is where the future is. And so that's where we're committed in. So I don't know if I answered your question there, but that's where we think the opportunity is.
No, you did. And are you, are you kind of shifting the model of Serhant to grow?
I think that we as a team are always asking the question, which is, what is the optimal model for the firm? And I don't think that's a national answer. I think that's one of the traps people fall into. Real estate is such a hyper-local business. If you try to take what's working in New York City and turn around and make that work in Tulsa or in any other parts of the country, I think you're going to be in for a surprise. And I think that's why you have different winners and losers by market. They're so local. So what we're really trying to figure out is there are core components, there are core parts of value, but then the different models need to adapt to the local nuance, and trying to figure that out. It's a wicked problem, but that's one of those things where we're putting like-minded people in a room and trying to answer that question nationally.
Well, I'm excited to see, the progress as you move through all of that. And you talked a little bit about headwinds in the industry. And of course, there are, in addition to the inventory, which actually is up some, but, just the market in general, the lawsuits and everything. What opportunities do you see out of all of that?
I actually think that these are hard and trying times, but what happens in every moment like this, and you can go back in any industry, this isn't real estate specific, but the harder the times are, we have to get really thoughtful about where we spend our money, energy, and effort. And this is where I think being an incumbent, being a top organization, it's harder right now because you have a lot of distractions, and you've got a lot of infrastructure that you have to maintain on previous investments and previous bets. And so I think that ultimately what will happen on the macro level is over the next 5 years, and you're already seeing it, large firms are continuing to try to drive down their OPEX, their expenditures, because they're being challenged by revenue. Agents are feeling that pullback, and that's challenging the value relationship that's happening. And so you're seeing a lot of that stuff in the industry. But what will happen, in my opinion, on the macro is there's entrepreneurs right now like Ryan and what we're trying to do, and other people that are as smart, if not smarter than us, trying to ask the same questions, which is, how do we reimagine this? What does the new of everything look like? And I think you're going to see more and more new models be introduced. And then I think in 5 years from now, this is going to be a completely different ballgame. And I think that this headwind is going to create the pressure and the driving force needed for us to really ask the question, what should all this look like, and how do we create the most amount of value? What do agents need? How do they win in the next era? And so I think your new business models are being formed right now. New economics are being formed right now. And all that is ultimately really good for the agent, because they're going to get more value for less money, which is ultimately good for the consumer, because they're going to get more value for, however the agents want to represent that. And I think that's really exciting. I think that's where we're heading towards. But it'll be painful to go through that change.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you're going to see a lot of innovation out there. And it will be with companies that you are not expecting, or companies that are new on the scene, or, some who are more nimble or willing to take greater risks, which it sounds like Serhant is definitely up for that challenge. So that's exciting.
Yes, I would not agree more. And yes, we're very bullish on the path forward. And so we're willing to make some pretty big strategic bets on that.
So let's talk a little bit about, some of the leadership lessons that you've learned in not just from Keller, but from your other previous leadership positions that you are taking forward with you into this new position.
I think the most important thing for a leader right now is to just assume you don't know anything, and really use data to drive your decision making. I think looking at the way things have been done for the last, 30 years, and assuming that there's going to be some pretty much that's what's going to continue working, and some small deviation, I think that's going to be a mistake. Before I got into real estate, I spent my whole career working with Fortune 50 companies, all around how to, leverage innovation to not be disrupted, and to kind of help the incumbents. I worked with companies like Exxon, Bank of America, Toyota, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think that we're in a different era right now. I think with where the world is where it's going, what I've learned and from those experiences and what I'm seeing now is, I think hubris is going to be important here to be mindful of. I think that collaboration inside and outside of your four walls are going to be important over the next, the next couple of years. But ultimately, it's going to be like-minded people. Maybe someone has all the answers. Maybe someone has a crystal ball and they know exactly where all this ends up. If so, they're smarter than me. They figured it out. But I actually think it's about getting like-minded people. The way I kind of think about it is, it's who's building that next generation of real estate leadership that is has high integrity, that has a bold vision, and that can attract like-minded people to go forge that path together. And my previous experiences and kind of what I know leads me to believe that's a winning formula for success, because we'll get some things right, we'll get a lot of things wrong, but we're going to be committed to trying to push the envelope and push the boundaries. And I think that's going to be good for the industry, and I think that'll be definitely good for our agents.
Yeah. And talk to me a little bit about training, because I know that Serhant is big on training. So tell me a little bit about, what you're doing now and some plans to take it in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's actually one of the other really important parts of the value chain here, which is, and Ryan created a program where it's all about training inside or outside of our four walls. They're doing a big launch around that, and kind of sell it is what we call that. And it's helping salespeople, understand how to make the best of their activities to make the most amount of money. And one of the innovations they've already done, I was like, man, that's really smart. And I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't take no credit for this, is they're all contextual training. So they literally have sessions where they show you on an airplane next to someone, like, how do you turn that conversation into an opportunity that's not creepy or weird or pushy, or the birthday party? I think all these like life events that we experience and that real contextual training going deep into that, I think is really smart. And there's a really aggressive plan around where we think we can take training for the future agent. I think, and I say this with all the love and respect for the industry, but I think the way that we train the industry right now is we put screens or standards or these things in front of the agent. We go, you need to go figure this out. This is where the world's going. And we'll come up with a course or curriculum. And sometimes we give that to you for free, and sometimes you got to pay for it. And then the agents have to make all these business decisions about what matters and what doesn't, and what they're going to master and what they're not going to master. We have levels of expertise and mastermind. It's a lot. I think that's going to get simplified. And I think at the end of the day, agents are going to focus more, are going to associate with firms that allow them to stay in their give zone, allow them to do what they excel at. And then they want training on how to become mastery at those things. And then everything else, they're going to outsource to their brokerage. And I think that's going to completely change what you need to train agents on and what the state of training could look like in a couple of years from now.
Yeah, I mean, personalized training is so important. I just think, like, I hear of, I'm going to teach you how to door knock. Well, there are a lot of agents out there who that is just not going to work for them. They're just not going to do it. You could teach them all you want, but that's not happening. So it sounds like you're doing a little bit of more of a personalized, but also kind of walking them through those situations that they might find themselves in and being able to capitalize on it.
Right. Well, and also, there's two parts, I guess, what I'm trying to communicate on this, and is that we as an industry kind of say, like, here's everything you have to master to be a great agent. You're gonna have to have leverage and you have to build teams. You have to be a manager and a hirer. And by the way, you got to master these technology and systems, because you have to have systems to scale. Oh, and by the way, this is how you do lead gen, whether it be door knocking or whatever. And so, like, we have all these like curriculum that we're always putting in there, and then we're trying to update that. And that's a lot. I think that's going to change. I think what's going to change is agents are going to say, I need help growing my business, getting leads, and then dealing with some of the nuance in my business. Like, that's where I need to really focus on. Everything else, I didn't get into real estate to sit in front of, to go door knocking. I didn't get in front of into real estate to go manage a CRM and master a CRM. I didn't get in front of in real estate for all these other reasons that we keep pushing on to the agent population. And what that's going to do is free up a lot of that time to do the bespoke, one-on-one, personalized training around their objective. So I'll give you an example. we think of it like a business plan. So when you join a brokerage, you should have a custom business plan that you're holding the brokerage accountable to, and the brokerage is working with you to hit your goals. And it's bespoke. It's not a you don't go into a room with everyone and do this. It's one-to-one, because that's actually the relationship. It's as you grow, we grow, and we have to grow together. And so I think more of that training is going to be very custom to where they are in their business, where they are in their life, the challenges that they have, and then all the other stuff that is not their best, highest and best use. I think they'll stop trying to learn it and master it, and they're going to outsource that to their partner to kind of take on that burden for them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You do have a lot of background in the tech. What excites you about, you know, AI or some of the kind of trending technology right now?
I'm very bullish on AI, but not the way that I do think there's an opportunity being missed a little bit. We see AI right now, and we think of GPT-4. We think of AI right now, and we think of these, you know, generative, you know, text. You give it a prompt, and it gives you some stuff back. It might give you an image, might give you maybe a video soon or text. And I think that's an interesting use case. And I think you see this kind of arms race on who can plug that generative thing into the latest screen. That kind of is the problem, because all that really does is that forces the agent to have to go master that screen, learn how to use that thing. It may or may not work. And it's more shiny objects. Where I actually think, and where we're pretty bullish on AI and what we're piloting with our simple program, is we actually think, how can we use AI to scale human support? So not have agents mastering AI, yet another thing we have to go train them on and teach them on and build policies and programs on and all that stuff. But how do we have human support in the brokerage that we scale and leverage with AI, so we can provide more value to more agents faster? And I think that is something that we're, again, very bullish on in our early testing and in the pilot phase. So I actually think that AI is an extremely important part of all business operations going forward. But I think it'll be less around generating text and descriptions and images. I think it'll be a lot more about high considered reasoning being integrated into business operations to provide more value to the end customer.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I don't really see a lot of agents. It's like, how much time do they have to go to AI and enter, you know, write descriptions and all of that when their time is better spent on other things? Yeah, so I agree with you there. So my last question, I always ask the aha moment. You gave me that at the very beginning. Obviously, that was going through, your health scare and coming out of it. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what's next for Serhant? I know you've kind of talked about it already, but like, what should we look for in the immediate, like 6 months?
Well, Ryan's Netflix show all about Serhant and the forming that's coming out, and that's going to be exciting. And then, so I think, you know, you'll get the behind the scenes look, a fully transparent roadmap on the ups and the downs and the twists and the turns. And that's new for me, and that's exciting. I think you'll also see us start to move faster in our national expansion plans. And I think you'll start to see us announce and roll out some really exciting initiatives that we believe is where the industry ultimately will have to get to. And if we can have a small part of that conversation, that's exciting to us. And so I think you're going to see, you know, a lot more national exposure, which is, you know, again, one of the benefits of Ryan's built is he's built the world's most followed real estate brand. And I think that's only going to get bigger as he continues to master content to commerce and creating that national brand. And that's going to, you know, fuel our national expansion. And then we're going to continue creating more value initiatives that we believe creates a competitive advantage for us in the market while we continue trying to innovate and creating new value. So I think that's kind of the roadmap.
Great. Well, Josh, thank you so much for joining Real Trending. And I am really looking forward to seeing where Serhant goes next.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invite. I'm looking forward to talking in the future. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Real Trending. If you haven't already, we'd love it if you'd take a minute to rate the show or leave a comment. And we will see you next week with more news and insights.